So Ephesians will be in chapter 5, and we're going to be in Judges chapter 14. Ephesians chapter 5 and Judges chapter 14. So you might want to put a little marker there so you can keep track of where it is. And I would strongly encourage you to take notes this morning. Even if you never take notes, I would strongly encourage you to take notes this morning because I believe that the message can be a help to you, and it'll be an encouragement if you will take notes and help with that. This week, or not just this week, but recently, I've listened to a sermon that was a challenge to me. And as I meditated on that sermon, the Lord began to work in my heart and challenge me with a need to just preach a message just to help our families, to help our families. You know, every married couple on their wedding day, they have hopes of having a fulfilling and joyful relationship. They want their marriage to be happy and enjoyable and loving and sweet and peaceful. But unfortunately, it doesn't take many weeks before many times that those hopes are shattered. And they discover that their spouse is not perfect like they thought they were. And conflicts begin to rise. Romance fades. The sweetness sours and peace leaves. And at that point, many couples have no clue what to do. And this morning as we look at this, I have, as I mentioned a moment ago, a message really challenged me. And the way that the pastor put it out, I thought that is an excellent way of dealing with some of these issues. And I've not used his outline in full, but I've borrowed parts of what he had to say and then developed a bunch of it myself. But I just want to share with you a message this morning that I've entitled A Fulfilling Love Relationship. A Fulfilling Love Relationship. And as we consider this morning, you know, we're going to look at two opposite models. Two opposite models. One model is the world's model. The world's model is totally the opposite of God's model. And as we look at these two models, we'll find that many times, without even really knowing it, we've adopted a lot of the world's model. And it's very definitely harmful and destructive to our families. And so as we consider this morning, I want us to start in the book of Judges. Back in the book of Judges, and we'll come back to Ephesians in a moment. Judges chapter 14 is where we're going to begin this morning. If you are familiar with the book of Judges, Judges chapter 14 is the story of Samson. The story of Samson. Now, the world's model for a loving relationship has four aspects to it. The first aspect that I want us to note is the world says you need to find the right person. You need to find the right person. And as we look at this, I want to read a couple of verses here in Judges chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. It says, "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman of Timnath, of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and said, and his mother, and said, I have seen a woman of Timnath, of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife." Now, the world's first view, you know, as you think about how do you find a spouse, how do you get happy in life, if you watched the Hollywood productions, you know, they've got all these worldly ideas of how we go about having a happy life and a romantic relationship and a happy relationship in life. And the world's view begins with finding the right person. You got to find the right person. And as they think about finding the right person, we see Samson follows this exact same pattern as he goes down to the Philistines area. They were the enemies of God. They were people that hated God. They had nothing to do with God. But he goes down there anyway, and he finds this pretty girl and says, hey, there's the one I want to marry. And so the first thing the world says is you got to find the right person. Find the right person. You know, they will tell you, no, maybe you need to go on the internet and fill out personality things where it'll help you to find the right person. And then look at all the possibilities. And people, you know, look on the internet and, oh, this was just right for me. And or they'll find somebody else. They'll go to parties. They'll do all kinds of things to try to get involved with people to be able to find the right person. I got to find the right person for me. And, you know, there's somewhere out there, the world says, you know, you've got a soulmate out there. You just got to find who that person is. You just keep looking until you find that right person, the one that's just right for you. And in order to do that, you got to market yourself as well. You know, you've got to do your best to look good and smell good and dress sensually and be a flirt and, you know, just get out there and market yourself a little bit. If you're going to find the right person, you got to let people know you're around. And, you know, you got to find somebody that'll be attracted to you as well. And so the world's idea is to just find that right person. You've got to get out there and to be able to do that. And Samson, we see here, did exactly that. He went down into the enemy territory, found this pretty girl, and says, "Mom and Dad, I want to marry that woman." And they tell him in the next verse that wasn't a good idea. But he was determined. So the first thing the world says, the first thing you have to do if you're going to have a fulfilling relationship, you need to find the right person. Then the world says the second thing you need to do is fall in love. Fall in love. You got to fall in love with that person. And notice what Samson says here in verse 3. He says, "Then his father and mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all the of my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." She pleases me well. You know, that's a key phrase there. He says, she pleases me well. What the world says, you need to, first of all, find the right person. Secondly, you need to fall in love. Fall in love. You know, the world looks at love as a noun. It is a feeling. It is an emotion. It is something that happens to you. It's an experience that you experience. It is a passion. You know, that we hear phrases where people say, "Oh, he just makes me feel so good." Or, "She just really turns me on." You know, I mean, we're meant for each other because we really, "Oh boy, she really makes me feel great." Or, he really, you know, I just feel so good when I'm around him. And so the world is saying, first of all, find the right person and then fall in love. And they think of love as just this feeling that happens to you. That it's a romance, it's a feeling and a passion that can come upon you. And as the movie industry puts on, you know, you never know when love's going to happen. And when it happens, oh, grab it quick, because you never know when it's going to leave. You know, so you got to grab love as soon as you find it and hang on tight, because the you don't know when it could come and you don't know when it's going to go. And so you better hang on tight. So the world says, find the right person, then fall in love. Then thirdly, we find that the world says, you need to give yourself sexually to that person. Turn over to a couple pages to chapter 16 of Judges and verse number 1. Samson's still in his bad habits. And it says in 16 verse 1, it says, "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw of a there an harlot, and went in unto her." You know, the world says, once you've found the right person and you've fallen in love, then you need to just give yourself to them. And go live with them and spend time with them and enjoy emotionally and sexually that person. And they said, "Well, don't worry about marriage. Marriage isn't important. That's neither here nor there, because marriage is a waste of time, because if you get stuck in marriage, then it's harder to get out of it. So, you know, because this, you know, you never know how long this love is going to last. So just enjoy the person and spend time with them. Give yourself to that person and enjoy them and fill up your desires with that person. You know, you don't need to worry about what the Bible says. Everybody's doing it. Do what everybody else is doing. Everybody else is doing that, so why not? You know, I found a very sad statistic as I was doing research for this message. And it was a website dealing with divorce. And probably, I don't know for sure, but probably written by some Christians, but I'm not positive of that. But they said here in Australia, they said most Australian people from the ages 35 to 64 have been in at least one live-in relationship. And then they qualified the most and said 95%. That's tragic. That's tragic. 95% of Australians ages 35 to 64 have been in a live-in relationship. And that's exactly what the world is saying. The world says, first of all, you got to find the right person, and then you need to fall in love. It's just that experience. You better grab a wall of air and enjoy it, and then give yourself to it completely. Just get involved with them emotionally, get involved with them sexually, just live with them and enjoy life and get the most out of it you possibly can. And then the fourth thing that the world says is when failure occurs, repeat the process. When failure occurs, repeat the process. You know, all right, it's, you know, the failure is going to happen. And failure always happens in the world's model. It always does. If you follow that process of just finding the right person and then falling in love and thinking love is just an emotion, just an excitement, just a thrill, and then give yourself to that person emotionally and sexually to that person, it will fail. It will fail. It's just a matter of time. And when it does, then repeat the process. You know, if you, the world says if you fell in love, you know, one of these days you're going to fall out of love. If you fell into love, you're going to fall out of love. Romance wears off. You know, when characters clash and then they say, well, I just don't love you anymore. You know, the love's gone now and I don't love you anymore. And I guess I made a mistake. I found the wrong person. Oh, no. If you're the wrong person, then I can't live with you. I got to find the right person for me. You're not the right person. I thought you were, but you're not. You're the wrong person. So I got to go find the right person. So I'm back to step one again. I got to go looking again, find the right person, and then fall in love, and then give myself to that person. And when that falls through, I guess I'll try it again. And that's the whole philosophy of the world. And it just repeats over and over again. You know, we ask the person like that and say, well, wait a minute. Yeah, but you got married. Oh, you know, you can't hold that against me. I mean, I'm with the wrong person. I got to get the right person. I can't keep my marriage together just because I said I would. I mean, because you can't live with the wrong person. You say, yeah, but you got children. Oh, well, they'll manage. They'll get along. I got to get on with life. Nobody can expect me to live an unhappy life with the wrong person. I need the right person. So I got to get out there and find the right person. And that is the philosophy of the world we live in. Just keep doing it over and over and over and over again. And they're miserable, they're unhappy, they're unfulfilled because they are not finding what they're looking for. And so as we look at the world's model, we see it is totally self-focused. It is, what am I going to get out of this? You need to meet my needs. I'm not happy with you anymore. So I'm going to find somebody else that'll make me happy. And it's all about me. It's self, self, self. And the whole philosophy of our world today is based on this. Now, thankfully, not all people in the world follow the world's philosophy. Now, they may not know they're following God's model, but some of them follow God's model without knowing it. And that's good. But God's model is the total opposite. God's model is the total opposite. Now, as I share these thoughts with you this morning, first of all, I want to share this. My marriage is, I've got a great marriage with Mel, but our marriage isn't perfect. I mean, we have squabbles sometimes too. Our marriage is not perfect, but we're working at God's model to try to make it what it ought to be. And as we keep that in mind, you know, just this week on Friday, we had our 33rd wedding anniversary. And we've had 33 good years together, and I thank God for my dear wife. But as I said, our marriage isn't perfect. No marriage is perfect. We need to keep working at it. But if we're working at it from God's model perspective, we will be far better off if we can weed out the portions of the world's model that has infiltrated our minds. So God's model. Back to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, Ephesians chapter 5. And as we begin, let me read verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 1. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. God's model begins with, instead of saying, find the right spouse, find the right person, God's model says, become the right spouse. Become the right spouse. Instead of find the right person, you need to become the right person for your spouse. And here he says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now the word followers there is an interesting word. It literally means to imitate. To imitate. Be ye therefore imitators of God. Now, as you read the Bible and you see that word therefore, always look what it's there for. What is it indicating? It points back to something. It is a marker. Anytime you see therefore or then, it is a marker to point back to something that's already been said. And you turn back to the next two verses before it, and we find in verse 31 and 32, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So God is saying here, that instead of finding the right person, we need to become the right person. And, some people might say, well, then how am I supposed to find a spouse? You know, if I don't follow the world's pattern of going finding the right person, how am I supposed to find a spouse? Well, that's a totally different message, and we'll get into that some other day. But basically, just very briefly, the way to find a spouse the Bible way is to be spiritually prepared. You need to be walking with God yourself and get yourself spiritually and emotionally and physically prepared. Then seek parental guidance and also spend a lot of time in prayer. Say, God, I need your direction. I need to know your spouse for me. But that's a totally different message, and I'm not going to take the time to get into that this morning. But then becoming a right person. God commands us here to imitate Him. We're to be followers of Him. And to imitate God, notice what He said God said to do in verse 32. He says, when there's conflicts, He says you need to be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And then He says, imitate God. Imitate God. If we're going to imitate God in these areas, that means that I, as a husband, and you maybe as a wife, or whatever the situation may be, you've got to imitate God in these areas and be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving. And many times we don't do that. And instead of finding the right spouse, we need to become the right spouse. What often happens is when we start feeling like, well, I don't know if I got the right one, man, she's a grump. She's ornery and mean. And a lot of times what's happened is that I'm not the right person. I'm not the person I ought to be. And I need to look in the mirror and become the right person for my spouse so that we can have a happy harmony in our marriage. And instead of always looking at the other person and blaming the other person, you know, one fella said, I just don't get it. You know, I've been married 3 times, and every time I marry the same woman. Not literally the same woman, but the same kind of woman. And the counselor said to him, maybe you make her that kind of a woman. He hadn't thought about that. But he was one of those kind of guys that was just hard to live with. And every time he got into the same kind of situation because he just couldn't find harmony there. But so God's telling us here we need to look at ourselves and become the right person. Now, good relationships are not passive, they're active. And it's important for us to understand that it is not about my spouse meeting my needs, it is about me meeting the needs of my spouse. Marriage is not about your spouse meeting your needs. Marriage is about you meeting your spouse's needs. And you need to become the right person. You need to become the person that can build your marriage and make it happy and make it harmonious. And it's your responsibility and my responsibility to become the right person that will build that relationship and to work it in a way that God says, I need to be kind. I need to be tenderhearted. I need to be forgiving. It is my responsibility. It's not going to her and saying, you're a grump. Straighten up. I need to look in the mirror and say, what did I do to make her a grump? What have I done to cause these problems? What am I doing to resolve these problems? And I need to be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving. And if you are trying to change your spouse, you know, there are many spouses that they say, well, I'm hoping that my spouse will hurry up and change. And I keep praying, God, change my wife. She's so hard to live with. Please change my wife. If that's the way you're looking at it, you're looking at it from the world's point of view. You're following the world's model and not even knowing it. Because what you're saying there is it's about me. They're not meeting my needs. They're not providing my needs. And they're not making me happy. They're not fulfilling me. And therefore, God changed them because they're not fulfilling me. My spouse is not meeting my needs. And you know, as you look at the Bible, what does the Bible say? The Bible says it's the other way around. You, for example, Peter says in 1 Peter 3, verse 1, he says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. He says, you live a life that is an example before your husband, and God will do the work in working on your husband. And the same thing is said of the husband in different words. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, he says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. God's saying, you don't have any right to be bitter against your wife. You need to love your wife. It is about meeting her needs and not about her meeting my needs. And so God's first point in his model is to become the right person. It is not about finding the right person. God will lead you to the right person if you're praying about it and seeking his will. He'll lead you to the right person. But then it is your responsibility to become the right person in your relationship. If you're going to have a happy, fulfilling, God-fearing relationship, it is about you. You say, well, what about my spouse? You know, they're not doing their part. That is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to do your part and to fulfill what God wants you to do. Now, so the first thing is become the right person. Secondly, the world says, fall in love. God says, walk in love. Look at verse number 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. He says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So God says here, we need to walk in love. Walk in love. Now, God is emphasizing here that love is not a feeling. It is an action. Love is not a feeling. Love is an action. And it is a verb. It is not an emotion. It is not a passion. It is not a feeling. Love is giving of ourselves to meet the needs of another, expecting nothing in return or demanding nothing in return. Love is giving of ourselves to meet the needs of the other, demanding nothing for myself. Now, anytime we start putting stipulations and saying, well, I'll love you if you'll do this, or I'll cooperate if you do this, or if you don't, I won't, and we're putting stipulations in our relationship, we're not being godly. Because God says here that we are to walk in love, and love is giving. Love is not romance. You say, well, Pastor, does that mean love is not romantic ever? No, there is romance in love. There is romance in a genuine love, a biblical genuine love, but it is not the driving force. It is a bonus. It is not the driving force of love. Love is giving. Love is meeting the needs of the other. And you know, we are so self-centered. We are so prone to become like the world, that they're not meeting my needs, and I'm not happy because they're not doing what I needed and what I wanted, and I'm upset because I'm not getting my needs. And God said, wait a minute, that's not the focus. The focus is to become the right person and then to walk in love. To walk in love. And then he tells us a definition of that love. He says, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He says, Christ gave himself for us. You know, we need to spend more time meditating on what Christ did for us. Christ gave his life to save us from hell. He died for us. What did we do to cause him to want to do that? Nothing. Nothing. You know, Christ didn't die for us because he looked down in eternity future and saw us and said, what a nice fella. I'm going to die for him because he's a great guy. He didn't do that. When he looked down into the future and saw me, he saw my wickedness and my sinfulness and my selfishness and my carnality and my ungodliness, and he said, I still love him and I'm going to die for him. Now, Christ is saying here, as a spouse, we're to walk in love like that. Instead of looking at my wife and saying, she's not lovely today. I don't want to love her today because she's unlovely. Christ looks down at me and says, you're not lovely today, but I love you anyway. And I'm going to die for you. I'm going to pay your debt for your sin. So he gave himself for us. Love is a giving. Love is giving of myself to fulfill my spouse's needs. Then he sacrificed for us. He was willing to give his life. Not only that, but he sacrificed 33 years of heaven for me. I mean, for 33 years, Christ lived on this earth among sinful men. He was the King of kings and Lord of lords and creator of all things. And he stooped to become like us. Not with sinfulness, but he came and stooped down to this earth to meet needs for us. He sacrificed. And you know, God's saying we need to sacrifice for our spouse. And it's going to mean sometimes that I may not be able to do everything I want to do. Maybe I have plans. I'm going to go out and do this, or I'm going to have this hobby, and I'm going to go enjoy myself, but my wife needs some help. Oh, too bad. You'll get on. I'll be back. And when I get back, you know, if there's anything left, I'll help you sort it out then. No, that's not the way Christ said to do it. We're to help and meet the needs and care for our spouse. And it goes both ways. You know, I'm kind of preaching it as men, but it goes both ways. You know, the ladies, you've got a responsibility to meet the needs of your spouse as well. So Christ sacrificed for us, but also he said that he gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Christ loved us even though we were unlovely, and he did it to please God, to please the Father. And there may be times in your relationship where your spouse is just not nice. They're ornery. They're mean. They're not cooperative. And God says, love them anyway to please me. Love them anyway to please me. And even though they may not deserve it, that's not the issue. He says, love them anyway to please me. And so God wants us to love our spouse and meet the needs of our spouse. And part of meeting those needs and part of loving our spouse is fulfilling the roles that God has given to us as a husband and wife. And I'm not going to get into that, but later on in this chapter, he talks about the roles of the husband and wife. How the wife needs to be the submissive completer for her husband. And the husband needs to be the loving leader for his wife. And they need to work together. But if I don't do my part, she's still supposed to do her part. And if she doesn't do her part, I'm still supposed to do my part. Because I answer to God for what I do. And I have a responsibility. And you know, as men, I think we have a step greater responsibility, because God tells us here, our part of our role is to make our wife a better person. Part of our role is to make her better, like Christ did for us. And when she's got flaws, I've got responsibilities to help her. Even like the little ponder I put in the bulletin this morning, to think on these things. We've got responsibilities. And we need to fulfill those responsibilities. And so the first of God's roles for a love relationship is to become the right person. Not find the right person, become the right person. The second one, instead of falling in love, we need to be walking in love. Walking in love, doing our part and loving unconditionally our spouse. Then the third one, the world says just give yourself to them. God says no, keep yourself pure and faithful to your spouse. Keep yourself pure and faithful to your spouse. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 3. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. God condemns fornication. Now, fornication here is referring to all sex outside of marriage. All. And God says it's wrong. And he condemns all uncleanness and covetousness. You know, I find it very intriguing to think that God mentions covetousness in this context. He's not talking about coveting the neighbor's car or the neighbor's money, but maybe the neighbor's wife. All right? In the context, he's saying all fornication and all uncleanness, including pornography and indecency and all those kind of things, or covetousness, let it not be once named among you. Covetousness here is lusting for something that does not belong to you. Lusting after something that does not belong to you. And in this context, he's talking about another person. Or some kind of thing to satisfy your passions. And God says here that that is wrong. And he says we are to keep ourselves pure and faithful to our spouse. The world says, you know, sleep around, satisfy your desires. And God's model says, no, save all intimacy for marriage. Then keep yourself pure and faithful to your spouse. You know, that's one of the things where the world's model, if you evaluate dating, which one of those two categories does dating fall into? The world's model or God's model? It doesn't fall into God's model. It falls into the world's model. Dating is the world's model. You know, find them, love them, ditch them, find another one, love them, ditch them, find another one, love them. Finally, you find one that you think you can handle and you stay with them for a little bit longer. That's the world's model. God's model is to pray and seek God to lead me to the right person and seek your parents' guidance and direction and seek godly counsel and find that right person and then become the right person for that person. And in marriage, keep it pure and clean and godly and stay faithful to them and love that person as God loves you. That's God's model. Totally opposite of the world's model. And so we see here God is urging us to be faithful to our spouse. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 4 says, marriage is honorable in all. That's important. God says marriage is always honorable. Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. God says if we are unfaithful in this area of intimacy, God's going to judge us. And God has created sexual intimacy for marriage. And God commands the husband and wife not to withhold their bodies from each other. That's part of God's plan. Ephesians or 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3 to 5, God clearly tells us that that's part of God's plan. He created it for our bonding and our encouragement and our fellowship and our intimacy. That's God's plan. But to get involved in any of that outside of marriage is contrary to God's plan. And yet the world says, no, no, no. Start when you're 10 or 11 years old. And the world's model, they start with that when they're youngsters. And they get involved in this same model when they're youth. Not even teenagers, some of them. They're involved in finding the right person and falling in love and giving themselves to them in an emotional and sexual way. And then I got tired of them. Find another one. Find another one. Find another one. Find another one. And over and over and over again. And is it any wonder when they get to be an adult that it doesn't work then either? Because they've got themselves into such a pattern of finding them, loving them and leaving them, and loving them and leaving them. And it just, that's the way life is. And it just continues on in a rat race, in a wild cycle that will never bring happiness and fulfillment. And God says that's wrong. God says you need to wait on God to lead you to the right one. And then you become the right person. And then you walk in love. Walk in love. Even if they don't, you walk in love. And then you keep yourself pure and faithful to your spouse. Note the last phrase of verse number 3. He says, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. What God is saying is, there's no exception. There's no exception. You say, well, yeah, but my spouse is treating me wrong, or they're not being faithful to me. That doesn't give you an excuse to break God's vows and go back and follow the world's model. That doesn't give us an excuse to do that. God said it's still wrong. We need to still follow God's model. God's model is the right model. We need to keep ourselves pure and faithful, even if our spouse is not all that they ought to be. We have a responsibility before God. Now, the fourth model. What happens if there's problems? Well, God says when struggles occur, revive your commitment. Revive your commitment. Struggles will occur. No marriage is perfect. Your spouse is a sinner just like you are. And we all come to places where two sinners living in the same house, under the same roof, sharing the same food, and same, you know, there's going to be conflict now and then. Doesn't have to be, you know, knife-throwing, bull-bat type conflict, but there's going to be conflict because we're humans. And when that happens, what do? Well, God says we need to revive our commitment. Become the right person. Instead of taking revenge and saying, yes, but she's fired me up and I'm sick of it and I'm just going to get even. No, God says, become the right person. Become the right person. Walk in love as Christ loved you and keep yourself pure and faithful. Now, keeping yourself pure and faithful is not just in our actions. It's also in our mind. You know, there are many men that are destroying their marriage and destroying their relationship by filling their mind with filth and looking at the trash on the internet and looking at the trash in magazines and being addicted to that kind of stuff. That'll wreck your life and it'll destroy your relationship. God said that is wrong. He said we are to build up, become the right person, and we are to walk in love, and we are to keep ourselves pure. And when struggles come, and they will, we need to revive the commitment that we have. And light the fires again. And seek to light that closeness that we once had. And do everything we can to keep ourselves in right relationship with God so that we can be the right spouse for our husband or our wife, whatever the case may be. Now, the world's model always fails. The world's model is seeking divorce. Divorce is never the solution. That's never the solution. Because that is the world's model. It's just repeating the cycle again. It's working through the situation and dealing with your own issues so that you can become the person that God wants you to be. You know, seeking fulfillment in anything, anyone or anything outside of marriage is not the solution. That's the world's model. God's model is to revive your commitment and become all that God wants you to be. Now, God's solution for struggling is this reviving and becoming the right person and walking in love and keeping yourself pure and clean and faithful. And if you are truly fulfilling your God-given role, and I say if because it's not easy. It's not easy to fulfill your role. As a husband, many times I have failed miserably to fulfill my role as a godly husband and caring for my wife and meeting her needs, especially if she's gotten a bit hard to live with or I've made her a bit hard to live with or whatever the situation may be. There, I haven't always been what I should be. It's not always easy. But if we are truly following and fulfilling our God-given role in marriage and if we are living in close harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ, then God will work on our spouse. You look at it in the Scripture, and God says that, especially there in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, He said, you become all that God wants you to be and expects you to be, and I'll take care of your spouse. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that your spouse is going to become an angel tomorrow. But God will deal with them. They answer to God, and God will deal with them. Our responsibility is to take care of ourselves. We have a duty ourselves. I've got a responsibility before God to be the husband that God wants me to be. Even if my wife fails miserably, I have a responsibility to be all that God wants me to be in the relationship. And so, as we think about the two models, the world's model, fall in love. Or first of all, find the right person. Then fall in love. And then give yourself to that person. And then when it all comes caving in, do it over again. There's no fulfillment in that. There's no happiness in that. There's no joy in that. All sin has some moments of pleasure, but it's not going to last. It is unfulfilling and miserable. And you know, maybe even you have seen this morning in your own marriage, if you're married, maybe you've seen some aspects of the world's model in your own marriage. If you have, what you need to do is you need to come to God and say, God, I'm sorry, and help me to begin to fulfill your model instead of the world's model. Help me to forget about those things in the past and follow the world, the model that you have for me. You know, if you're not yet married, you need to wait on God and ask God to help you to be patient and wait on Him for the spouse that God has prepared for you. And then follow God's model. You will never be sorry. It's the right thing to do. It's the way to have a fulfilling, happy relationship. Wait on God and do it God's way. If you've been married before and are on your second or third marriage, you know, you can't go back and undo what has done wrong. But you can, from this point on, begin to live the way that God wants. You can say, from this point on, I'm going to follow God's model. From this point on, I'm not going back to that old way. I'm not going to get back in that rut of loving Him and leaving Him, loving Him and leaving Him. I'm going to stick with it, and I'm going to do it God's way. And you know, if your marriage is a good marriage, you can make it a better marriage by following God's model and just saying, I need to become the right person for my spouse. I need to become the right person. And I need to be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving. I need to swallow my pride. I need to quit thinking about me, and I need to start focusing on them instead of myself. And then love. Walk in love like God loves us. Give of yourself to meet the needs of your spouse. Give of yourself to care for them. Even when it's unpleasant, even when it's uncomfortable, even when you don't feel like it, give yourself to them to meet their needs. And then keep yourself pure no matter what the situation. Guard yourself. Guard your mind. Guard your thoughts. Guard your actions. Guard your relationships with other people. And keep yourself for your spouse. God said it ought not to be once named among us as Christians that we would be involved in pornography or in indecency or in bad relationships outside of our marriage. We need to keep it pure and godly. And then when struggles come, and they will, you'll have struggles. But when they come, that just means I need to revive my commitment. I need to be more determined to become the right person. I need to get more determined to walk in love. I need to be more determined to keep myself pure for my spouse and to give myself to my spouse to meet their needs. And so let's just ask God this morning to help us. Whatever situation we're in, you young people that are still single, and you need to just be praying, God, in your good timing, lead me to the one that you have for me. And you be patient and wait and seek your parents' advice and guidance and encouragement and get good counsel. But wait on God. And those of us who are married, we need to just determine, God, help me to follow your model.